Next Friday marks the 100th birthday of a composer and entertainer whose popularity crossed the lines that separated black and white audiences, jazz and popular music.
Hi there, fellas. What you say? This is Little Fat Swallow, my mother's 285 pounds of jam, jive, and everything. They got me in on this V-Disc mess here this afternoon, so here it is. Watch out. One of my own compositions ain't misbehaving, and I ain't either.
From New York, Tom Vitale has this tribute to Thomas Wright Waller.
In 1938, an 8-year-old Danish boy named Dan Morgenstern went with his mother to see Fats Waller at a Copenhagen concert hall.
This huge African-American man came out in a white suit of tails and sat down at the piano and started to play and sing, and he was just phenomenal.
Who's that walking around here? Mercy.
His vitality and the way he communicated was just something that was quite overwhelming. And even though I couldn't understand what he was saying or what he was singing, it communicated. It was just wonderful.
Say, up in Harlem, at a table for two, there were four of us, me, your big Pete, and you. From your ankle up, I'll say you sure are sweet. From that down, there's too much feet. Yes, your feet's too big.
Today, Dan Morgenstern is a noted jazz journalist and director of the Institute for Jazz Studies at Rutgers University. Morgenstern says the engine that drove Waller's music was his piano playing, specifically his stride style with its propulsive left-hand rhythm.
There's something vital about that rhythm. He was a master of stride. He certainly didn't play it exclusively, but he recorded some of the great stride piano pieces like James P. Johnson's Carolina Shop.
Fats Waller studied with James P. Johnson. The man sometimes called the father of stride piano took his young protege to play at neighborhood rent parties in private homes, where the host provided bootleg whiskey and charged admission to help pay the rent. Years later, Waller recreated the scene in his tune, The Joint is Jumpin'.
They have a new expression along Old Harlem Way that tells you when a party is 10 times more than gay. To say that things are jumpin' leaves not a single doubt that everything is in full swing when you hear someone shout. It is, the joint is jumping. It's really jumping. Come in, cats, and check your hats. I mean, the joint is jumping.
To me, he was always a genius. I mean, you know, because it's pretty hard to think, play, and sing, and perform, too, if you know what I mean. Presentation, you know what I mean? But he could do it. Just natural.
Al Casey played rhythm guitar with Fats Waller for 10 years. Casey is now 88 years old. He was only 17 when he joined the band in 1933. He says his primary job was to keep the music going while Waller ad-libbed.
Well, you know, he did a lot of singing, clowning, or whatever you want to call it. And he wanted me to play behind his voice.
Don't you hit that, kid. That's my broad. Where'd you get that stuff at? Well, I'll knock you to your knees. What?
Fats Waller made more than 500 records. Al Casey says the band went into the studio cold without rehearsing.
And we'd run over things. As we ran over things, he'd add this there, this there, this there. We wind up with a record.
All right, start function!
Try it a couple of times and bring it out, because mostly it was built around him anyway. And what we were doing, we were playing behind him, you know, his singing and his talking and joking. And it was so easy and great to me anyway.
Waller's musicianship and his comedic ability helped him to become a major star. He had his own radio show. He appeared in 3 films, including Stormy Weather in 1943, in which he mugged with blues singer Ada Brown.
Baby, baby, what is the
nothing wrong with me, babes. Nothing at all.
Baby, baby, what is the matter with you?
One never knows, do one?
Waller was so popular, his RCA producers counted on him to make hits, even with subpar material. When he got into the studio, they handed him a stack of sheet music from Tin Pan Alley Tunesmiths. Waller would pick the ones he liked and arrange and reharmonize them on the spot. Dan Morgenstern says Waller had a talent for making something out of nothing.
For example, his first big hit in that Victor series was I'm Gonna Sit Right Down and Write Myself a Letter. That tune had been sitting on the shelf for almost a year. It had been recorded by other people, but nothing happened with it. But he did it, and strangely enough, it was an instance of him not making fun of a tune, but doing it fairly straight. What sold it, I think, was Fats picked just the right tempo, and the way he sang it, there's a certain intimate quality to it, and that sold the song.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
While Waller's ability as an entertainer is well known, Dan Morgenstern says other aspects of his talent are underrated. Waller was a brilliant organist, a skill that goes back to his childhood in Harlem, when he accompanied his father, a part-time preacher, and his teen years, when he played organ for silent movies at the Lincoln Theater.
He played both pipe organ, and he's recorded some wonderful solos, and he managed to make that huge thing swing somehow, which isn't easy because there's a delay between when you strike the note and when you hear it. So he managed to do that. And then he was a pioneer of the Hammond organ and recorded some wonderful things on that. Perhaps best of all, one of his great compositions, the Jitterbug Waltz.
Fats Waller wanted to be taken seriously as a composer and musician. He wrote more than 400 songs, including Honeysuckle Rose, which became a standard, and Black and Blue, perhaps the first jazz protest song. He studied piano all his life. He was a virtuoso who could play classical music as well as jazz.
He was a serious artist. I mean, I think he took his work very seriously. He was an absolute and total professional, and he was very, very wonderful in his approach to the piano, and he had marvelous technique.
But it was Waller's larger-than-life character that got the most attention. Stories abound about the 300-pound entertainer. He's said to have sold 8 of his original songs to bandleader Fletcher Henderson for 8 hamburgers, which he then consumed in a single sitting. He drank prodigiously while he was performing. But Al Casey says it never affected Waller's playing.
Yeah, he did his drinking. Always did his work, though.
Fats Waller worked continuously, in part to feed his appetites. But his lifestyle eventually caught up with him. On December 15, 1943, Waller was returning from a West Coast performance on a train to New York when he died of pneumonia in Kansas City. Historian Dan Morgenstern.
When we consider what he did to himself, I mean, the way he lived, he loved to have a good time. He never got enough sleep. He drank far too much. He ate too much. He was constantly on the move. And that's probably one reason why he died so terribly young. I mean, he died at the age of 39, which is nothing. And it's such a pity because he could have and would have produced loads more.
As Fats Waller himself said,
one never knows, do one?
For NPR News, I'm Tom Vitale in New York.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.